Your Majesty, help us to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let us stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Last Sunday and today, we find in the Gospel according to Luke lessons and examples around the concept or the idea of following. Last week we heard about Legion, who after the demons left him, begged Jesus to allow him to journey with him. Today, in the second half of our Gospel, we hear of three scenarios related to following Jesus. As I considered this concept of following, the first image that came to my mind was ducklings, following the mama duck, a parental figure teaching their offspring how to survive. Now, with that image in mind, it can be difficult to understand Jesus' response in these three scenarios we are given in these last verses of our gospel lesson today, where we find people willing to and wanting to follow Jesus. First, we hear, "I will follow you wherever you go." What a faithful statement. The follower, or the one desiring to follow, in other words, is saying, "Jesus, I believe I am capable of following you wherever you go." 2,000 years later, it is easy to recognize the naivete of this believer. We know that in the coming months, Jesus will endure unjust accusations, suffering, and death. And Jesus knows this as well. And his response intends to make this seeker aware that what is to come might possibly strip them of their comfort, the comfort of their home and their culture. Not everyone will be excited about Jesus. Not everyone is going to willingly accept Christ or his message. Our second seeker is invited to follow, but our seeker learns they are not ready. When they say, "Let me go and bury my father first," what they are really saying, according to some commentaries, is, "I think I'll wait until my father has died. Then I'll be ready to follow you. Right now, Jesus, you are not my priority. I'll have to get back to you." And a third seeker is almost ready, but first he must go tell his family goodbye. Here we find some similarity to our Old Testament lesson from 1 Kings, where we find Elisha had a going away barbecue for the people and kissed his father and mother goodbye before he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. However, there is a difference. Elijah is preparing Elisha as his successor. Elisha's burning of the yoke of oxen symbolizes his break with his former life. Elijah and Elisha were prophets. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus doesn't need a successor because his presence and power are always with us through the Holy Spirit. Following Jesus is not the same thing as following a parent as a child. There's a level of maturity and intentional preparation required to move from following our parents, our posse, our friends, to following Christ. In the Episcopal Church, we move toward this maturity and preparation through our confirmation. Our catechism teaches us that confirmation is the rite in which we express a mature commitment to Christ. And you can find that in your Book of Common Prayer on page 860 as a part of the catechism that is listed there. So Jesus is letting our seekers know that following him requires a readiness and maturity that takes time and intentionality. Because the road following Christ is not always an easy one to travel. And to really be ready to follow Christ means to be ready to experience some difficulties and uncomfortable situations that come with maturation. You, in essence, have to be ready to leave the warmth and comfort and protection of the nest and move out into the world. Speaking of nests, did you know that bald eagles are known for building huge, huge nests? They can be as much as 13 feet deep and as much as 8 feet wide, if not larger, and can weigh over a ton. They build their nests with strong sticks, thorns, and thistles from nearby trees. But before the mother eagle lays her eggs, the parent eagles make a cup or bowl inside the main part of their nest. They make sure that this interior of the nest, this cup, this bowl, is lined with soft materials like moss and grass and seaweed. And they make sure that this is done before the eaglets hatch, making sure the eaglets will have a warm and comfortable place. Now, after the eaglets hatch, the eagles brood over them for about 3 months, spending less and less time with them as the weeks go by. Eventually, the eaglets are able to fly, but they need a little encouragement to actually take that leap of faith out of the nest. As the days go by, the eagles begin removing that soft inner bowl, exposing those sticks and thorns and thistles of that rugged outer nest. These thorns of discomfort provide the motivation the eaglets need to leave the nest. Perhaps these Jesus seekers in our gospel today are not quite ready to actually leave the nest. And if that is true, what a blessing that Jesus shows them, reveals to them that they are not ready. Tough love makes us uncomfortable, but it also shows us the truth. Tough love shows us when we are not ready. And when we are ready, tough love is what pushes us out of the nest. Tough love knows, Jesus knows, just when we are ready to soar, when we are ready to go. But thanks be to God, Jesus and his tough love also knows when we are not ready, and won't put us into situations before we are actually ready. The eagle knows when her eaglets are ready to spread their wings. And thankfully, Jesus knows when it is time for us to go and when we might just need a little more time in the nest. As Christ followers, we must be ready to see all of our responsibilities to our family and friends, to our job, in the light of our faith and through the lens of our deepening commitment to Christ. And when we can see that, Christ will direct our path, but not before we're ready. We can trust that Christ will never leave or forsake us. And we can trust that Jesus will never send us out unprepared. Jesus, in showing us the way, sometimes has to tell us no. and no is not an easy thing to hear most of the time. But sometimes that no winds up being the best thing for us. Just like those no's that I talked about last Sunday around the changing dates of my ordination to the diaconate and to the priesthood. In the moment, I was so disappointed by those changes. But now, I am so grateful for all of those no's that I got. It just proves that delay does not always mean denial. And not only that, it could mean God has something greater, something bigger in mind down the road. In about 3 weeks, it will be a year since my time at St. Luke the Evangelist came to an end. I could not have ever imagined myself being blessed to be here with you over these last 6.5 months, a year ago. Honestly, I was so hurt that I thought about giving up on just about everything. But what felt like a roadblock at the time has brought me to this place, this time, and I have that peace that passes all understanding. So I thank you for receiving me. I thank you for accepting me. I thank you for affirming me. They say hindsight is 20/20, and as I look back, I now realize that sometimes the real blessing in the moment is in the no. Amen.